Hi, everyone. My name's Nobuo Calypso. I'm a master mystical numerologist. I've been a master mystical numerologist for 30 years. Most of the work has been studies and empirical research. Practicing mystical numerology has been fairly, on a full-time basis, has been fairly recent within the last 5 years. But for, 20 years, I've been working on the charts, and I think that's what makes a good numerologist, someone who has done countless charts. So let's talk about what this show is about and why I've decided to host my own radio show from BBS Radio. The main reason is because of people's fear about the year 2012. When you look and understand energy around us, which I can interpret through mystical numerology, there just isn't any such thing. It doesn't exist. And the energy that I work with is considered pure energy. In mystical numerology, there's nothing fear-based because there's nothing fear-based in nature or cosmic movement. The largest movement in nature and the cosmos is change. So there always has to be change, and there always has to be movement. The only concern about things that could be happening would more or less be happening presently, because nature, the largest thing about nature is nature seeks to balance. And that's why I'm a mystical numerologist, because I use what I call Nobuo's mystical numerology to help people balance. So before I continue, people are invited to call in, and I can answer some questions regarding their birth dates or their first name. And I welcome callers to do so. Now to get back to the mystical numerology, one of my major concerns as a mystical numerologist is seeing history repeating itself. And that's kind of difficult because the nature, it really doesn't, there's things that don't repeat. Energy always transforms into something else, which the first law of thermodynamics proves. But it never disappears. To repeat history again and again and again is really stagnation, and it's called stasis. And if there is stagnation, there's a collapse. So for the betterment of mankind, for the betterment of my clients, and for the betterment of life on Gaia, I try to speak to people and let them know to go forth with the change. Holding on to the old doesn't work. It's been done, and it's time to change. You pick up pieces from the old and you move on with that. So one of the things that we really should look at is the Depression. And one of the things that began the Great Depression, one of the things that began the Great Depression was propaganda. And due to the propaganda, it brought in fear, a lot of fear, which pretty much paralyzed this country and other places in the world. Well, this is being repeated again. Now we've gone through an economic upheaval due to a lot of mistakes that were made because people were too centered in the material. Okay, that happened. But the propaganda that is floating about in what's called the H-band noise has gotten a little bit out of control. And the H-band noise is it's almost like a collective unconsciousness of conscious thinking. So it would be something that's lower than what Jung referred to as the collective unconsciousness. These thoughts are conscious thoughts. They are conscious conversations. And you have to imagine that this is energy that's collecting together, that's rising up above us. And it creates like this film. I call it the veil. and I think other people call it a veil too. But I see the this as a veil that we really have to work towards going to a higher will and going through this veil and allowing the energies from nature and the cosmic energies to flow through us, which isn't that complicated because our thought process within the bodies that we have makes this easy for us to do. And we have to project these thoughts outwards instead of holding these things inside. Three of the most dangerous things to hold inside would be a belief in sin, a belief in guilt, and a belief in fear. Those three things, when you hold them inside, they do nothing but go down inside of us. They can make our body ill. They can mess up our energy inside, and then they start affecting the organs. But it's energy first, spirit first, mental is the builder, physical is the result. So the organs don't fail first. It's the energy, and the energy is from what we digest. So in nature, everything moves to change. Everything moves to pick up the diversity to create a unit to go to a higher octave, and that's what mystical numerology or Nova's mystical numerology is about. It's not comparable to Western numerology because the alphabet's different. There's ancient teachings in it that go past 5,000 years, and digital reduction is not part of mystical Nova's mystical numerology. Digital reduction is what these books are selling for numerology today. For someone to say, "Well, I'm a five," it's almost like a misnomer because we have diverse energy that we pour in through our organic bodies from the nature and the universe around us. The energies in nature and the energies in the universe are highly diverse, so how can we just be a five? In mystical numerology, I work with the Hermetic Code. And the Hermetic Code says that everything moves in a triad fashion. That means that it goes from one triad, which is a triangle, which is a three-part completion cycle, into another. And I know that this is a little confusing, but it's just going to give you a brief of how this movement is with nature. So I could show to you today, there's no reason to fear 2012, and I'd like to help eliminate these fears for anyone who's listening, because 2012 is not a year of apocalypse. It's not a year of destruction. It is not a fearful year. The only physical thing that could be happening is what's called the precessional or the wobble, and that may or may not occur. But the world's not going to be gobbled up. People aren't going to be gobbled up. In fact, it's one of the greatest years of the century due to the mystical numerology in it and due to where the position is in the Mayan long calendar. To get back to the Hermetic Code, in mystical numerology, everything moves in a triad fashion. That means that Sam can't be in a number five because he had to complete a path in order to get to that five. Someone may not complete the freedom that's in a five. So you have to look at the patterns before it, like in a birthday. Each pattern, which you would call number, each pattern moves into another pattern, and then that pattern becomes a triad, and then it moves into another, and so forth and so on. So Sam, if he's a five, one has to question, well, what made him a five? Is it a 1, 4, 5? 415-325 or 235. And what was before that, that led into these patterns. So you can't, I could never digital reduce SAM down into a 5 because there's still movement and frequency within those patterns. And that's the way that nature moves. That's the way the energies move. The energies from our solar system, the energies from our universe, the energies from other universes, the cosmic rays that pour through us all the time. It's all diverse energy, and it has movement, and it has different movement. So working with Nobo's mystical numerology, it shows that different movement as well. One can't reduce someone down to a single digit in life and then go on, you know, just go on like, oh, well, that person's a 5 and that's that. To me, this person is exhibiting a 23-5 energy this month, but that could very well change next month. Still, the energy is revolved around the 23-5, but there could be a greater expression within the 3 than there is within the 2. So it all has to be looked at in a triad or triangular process. And that's the same thing with the year 2012. So together, why don't we just look at 2012 and try to take the fears away? When you use the pattern of 2, when the year 2000 occurred, it brought in a whole new energy. And that energy is the feminine. The 2 is the dyad, which is the first feminine principle. It did bring in, and it will have the highest energy within the feminine. And on this planet, the feminine energy is stronger than the male energy, even though it seemed for the last couple thousand years that was swapped around, but we had to go through that learning. The feminine energy is magical energy that's highly intuitive. It's very compassionate energy. It's energy with self-preservation. It's energy that protects. It's an energy that works with inspiration. It's an energy that's highly creative. And it's an energy that becomes more introverted. And it has to be introverted because we have to go beyond the visible. Part of our learning is to stop looking at life according to what's in front of our face, the visible. We have to go beyond the visible, and within the feminine, that becomes possible because this pattern goes inside to deeper realms, and that's why things are a little bit deeper and heavier. But the 2000, when a large vibration like that has 3 zeros, that opens up infinity. That opens up the that opens up the circle. That opens up greater opportunities. People see it as being a little bit more conflicting and challenging, but it's not. It's each zero brings in greater opportunities. So in actuality, in 2000, if we all changed with this flow and opened up our mode to operate more from the heart than the Western head, I don't think that things would be as difficult for people today as people feel as if it is, because the zeros brought in too much opportunity. It brought in, like each zero could be seen as a opening, a boundlessness, a void, you know, just opening up with unlimited possibilities. And each zero represents being in control of one's own destiny. So it opened that up on a very large scale. So when we look at 2000, we're moving into what's considered the dyad in sacred geometry. We're moving into the feminine. Some people call it the goddess. I don't. I just call it, and I don't really like the word feminine because that says of having the female body parts. What we're really talking about is the cosmic female energy, which is yin. We've opened up to the universal yin energy. And no matter what, there's going to be change. The reason change isn't happening is because the residue from the 19 is still, you know, with this patriarchal yang energy trying to prevent the feminine from moving forward. But the universal energies are actually with the yin. They're not with, they were with the stronger yang nine energies for quite some time. But now the energies move with the yin. And that doesn't mean that whatever a female does, it's correct. But when people go from head to heart, use intuition, and they merge the logic and rationale with intuition and inspiration, that's when it starts working. You can't just ignore the logic and rationale, but you come from a place of heart first. So 2000 with the yin energy is to open up the heart, is to open up intuition, is to open up the yin, is to open up self-preservation, is to open up inspiration, is to open up compassion. And so it no longer stands as a ruling pattern like the 1-9. It turns into an all-inclusive pattern because the yin energy is highly inclusive. And that's what's going to make things work, is the yin energy is going to come together in groups. And the groups are what's going to create the change. The actual rulership of the yang energy isn't effective any longer. And as we get into higher years, it's going to fade more and more away. So the yin energy, because it's group orientated, because it's all inclusive, because it brings people together, that's what's going to work. When someone stands in a egocentric force in this time, it doesn't work. So when we look at 2012, we have to first look at the yin energy, the main energy within 2000, and that is the 2000. And that energy is what is very, I don't want to say that it's the most omnipotent, because there's nothing that can become highly definitive, but it is the most prevailing energy that exists around us now. And when we look at the years that we went through, 2001, 2002, 2003, et cetera, up to 2009, we went through a pathway through the patterns. The second pattern that becomes important is the pattern to the right, like 2001. One within the yin energy, within the strong feminine, becomes important. And the one says, go inside yourself, learn that you are all inclusive to the all that exists around you, find truth of self within, be a pioneer in the things that you do, and reflect this outwards. The two then says, partner up with others, have consideration, use your sensitivity, your artistic abilities. Then it moves into the three, which brings in the joyful, creative energy. Then the four, stability and security. Then it moved into the five, open out towards new discoveries for humanity, new inventions, et cetera, et cetera. Then it moved into the six, and the six brings in greater family, greater community. You know, it's a hearth-like quality. Nature, in 2006, there was a lot of people that were highly concerned about nature and the effects within nature, and that's still strong today. Then it moves into the higher spiritual numbers, 7, 8, and 9. 7 is for the sage, the hierophant, the adept, the searcher for truth. It's reflective, it's reclusive, it's hidden. And then it moves into the 8, great manifestation for renewal within the populace. And now we're in the 9, where we're supposed to have complete transformation. A lot of people today, the reason why I'm doing this radio show, are having what they call difficulties. I call opportunities. Because especially in 09-09, because that brings in immense yang, fiery power. And within this power, if something did not transform, then there will be conflict. And due to that conflict, people still holding on to old ideologies, old way of thinking, don't want this thing to change. So therefore, it seems that things became more difficult to them. But it's actually for transformation, change, for the betterment of the whole, like in a whole family unit. There had to be that transformation. So it brought in illness. It brought in conflict. It brought in a lot of what people call difficulties. Now we're going into 2010, and I'll discuss that in a little bit, but I want to jump ahead to 2012 because that's the reason for this show tonight, because more people have called me, more people, people call me inebriated, people call me in these situations that they would never get involved with. They have so much fear today, generated by false prophets, by propaganda, by just a lot of nonsense. And the biggest thing is, don't digest it. We cannot digest these things. You really have to listen to your intuition. And if we tap into what's called the switchboard, the omnipotent spirit God, or in dash formation, we'll find that none of this is true, because there's always a major principle, my friends, called as above, so below, as above. The universe isn't trying to destroy itself, because the universe is ever expanding. So the universe isn't going to turn around and destroy something that acts like a miniature of the reflective principle. Gaia is reflecting back to the universe its principles. So the universe sets up the major principle for us. And the universe is ever expanding. We should live within that same principle and be ever expanding. To sit around and have fear, to believe in something called guilt or sin, that's not expanding. That's making ourselves sick. It's lowering our consciousness. So, to look at the year 2012, we've already discussed what the 2000 is, briefly, but we've discussed it. It is the yang. It is the first feminine principle. It is the dyad. It is all-inclusive. So it brings in the 12, and the 12 is a major part of 2012. If anybody knows Tarot, and you look at the card that's 12, it's the Hanged Man. And the deck of Tarot was first a book in Egypt, and then in the medieval days, it was turned into a deck of what I call pretty fatalistic cards, but that was during the medieval times. Today, it seems fatalistic, but I suppose at that time it wasn't. But the pathway of the 12, considered the Hanged Man, usually it's a man hanging upside down from a tree, with a rainbow behind him, but he doesn't see this rainbow, so he can't upright himself. The whole idea about the 12 is a complete reversal of patterns. That's what exists within that 12. There has to be a reversal of patterns. So the 12 is actually saying, if life is not moving positively, if life is not flowing positively, you have to look at the patterns, and we have to look at them as a whole, and that is a year to reverse them. We have to reverse these patterns. If people are not working now to reverse these patterns, letting go of the old, being more inclusive, looking at the commoner, more so than stratification, more so than their wants, more so than their desires, which is not part of the feminine. It was part of the one night, you know, 1968, 1913, 1914, et cetera, et cetera. But it is not part of the energy that's around us now. So if we're holding on to these old, I call them ideologies. If we hold on to this old way of thinking, I want to be successful so I can have a house, so I can have a car, so I can have, and accomplish more and more and more and get more and more, it's not going to work. In fact, all that's kind of falling apart because that really doesn't do anything within the inclusive group. And that's why things are kind of falling apart for people, which is not a bad thing because the nature doesn't support that type of thing. It doesn't support the individual wants. It doesn't support something that continues to take and gather. Nature has uses pressure and forces when a quantity has gotten too high, and that nature will come in and do something about because the quantity is too high, or when another pressure force tries to become larger than the nature itself. And that's why there's all these changes, these land changes, because of the exploitation. And nature is actually, Gaia is actually just trying to rebalance all this stuff. So to get back to the 12, within the 12, it means a complete reversal of patterns. Individually, we have this pathway from 2000 to 12. We have 12 years to change things about ourselves, to live more with the yin energy, to get out of the old enlightened age way of thinking, you know, logic, rationale, rigid pragmatism, depersonalization. I got a brain. That's the only thing that works in my body. We have to be all inclusive, but we have to begin being all inclusive with ourselves. We have to see ourselves as organic. We have to see that we have energy pouring through us, that we're not separate from a tree. We're not separate from a snail. We're not separate from a rock. Our human bodies just resonate on a higher octave. To manifest this energy. So by the time it gets to 2012, I would imagine there would be what people would call difficulties if they continue to hold on to the old. If they continue to be, well, you know, I want to be a newspaper tycoon or, you know, I want to, you know, control the world or, you know, I want to take from other people. It's not going to work. And yes, they will have these what are called difficulties, what I call opportunities to change. So 2012, the 2000 is very vital because it is high yin energy. And on this planet, the yin energy has always been high because this planet is governed by the moon, and it's governed by the menstrual cycles. I just got beeped for a call, but I just would like for you to think that 2012 then turns into a 5. It goes into a 3, which is greater self-creativity, and then it turns into a 5 because all this is the better humanity. Okay, I'm going to answer Vicky. Hello? Well, hi, Vicky.
Hi.
Thanks for calling. Answer any questions for you? Would you like to make a comment, or I'm at your disposal?
Oh, I just thought I'd give you my birthday and let you tell me something.
Oh, wonderful.
It's,
okay, what's your birth date?
1-6-53.
Oh, you're a 6.
No, I'm a 7. Oh, maybe in mystical thing I am. The other one, I'm a 7.
No, you were born on the 6?
I'm born on the 6.
Yeah, you're... the day that we're born on The reason why I say, oh, you're a six is because of the day that you were born on.
Oh, okay.
And this pattern is, it's just a lovely, lovely day to be born on. And I'll tell you that in a little bit. So the reason why I say, oh, you're a six is because some of my favorite people that I have around me are born on the six.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Let me talk to you about the day that you were born on first.
Okay.
Because this is nature personified. Being born on the sixth. People born on the sixth are people that are really drawn to helping others, serving others. They're drawn to nature. They're drawn to animals. They're drawn to plants. They're drawn
to garden
beauty.
For a living.
They're very, very benevolent people. Sometimes they have this little perfectionist thing going on, and that has to be dropped. They're very family orientated, and what's really great about a six is love. People born on the six, when they love, it's very honest, and they blossom best when they're loved. You always have to be in a position of being loved. Always. And it's not, you know, a lot of people born on the sixth feel that's kind of selfish, and it's not. It's this pattern resonates so well with nature that if you bought a plant and you didn't water the plant, you didn't put the plant in the sun, give it nutrients from heaven and earth, it would wilt. And that's the same thing with you, Vicky, is that you really do need to be around love. But since your path leads into a seven, you would tend to, you have a 1, 6, 7 twice. And I'm going to give you some information that's going to help you a lot in your life, because there's probably some confusion with you. Because what's happening, Vicky, is that you have three types of energies running at the same exact time. And you would think that it would be confusing for you. Because of being born on the sixth, that would govern your intuition. But when you have the three energies, you have a 1, 6, 7 that pours through you at one time. And I'm going to explain this to you. And these have to be balanced. So, and this appears twice in your birth date. So that tells me it's karmic. And I can discuss the karma with you later, because that's really not it. Karmic doesn't mean that something disastrous is going to happen, but it's karmic patterns that you brought out. First of all, because you carry the 16, you really have to go for what is best for others. You're directed towards more mystical things. You're directed more towards what be considered God or spirit, or your consciousness would bring in a very high intellect, intellect that's questioning and analyzing and examining. Sometimes maybe over analyzing things a little bit too much.
True.
But with this pattern, Vicky, you have to look at these three energies. You have this large energy that wants your self-reliance, that wants your, because you have 16 twice, so that already tells me that you're a major survivor. You could survive almost anything. And there's been tests, but you're like a survivor. So the one, the pattern of the monad, the one, directs you towards your self-reliance, your leadership, you making your own decisions, being your own pathfinder. I'll show you the way.
Yeah,
but then
true.
you have the six vibrating at the same time, and the six says, but I really want to help other people. I really want to help. I really want to serve, because it's really high benevolence. And I imagine people take advantage of that with you, because when you give, and it's really from heart. I mean, and people feel this, especially the opposite sex. So I would imagine that there's been some self-sacrifice of people taking you for granted, always expecting you to be there because your sense of responsibility is very high. So then you have those two vibrations running at the same time, and then you have the seven. So, and the seven says, I want to shut the door and not come out. I wish that people would leave me alone. I'm going to be reclusive. I'm going to hide, and I'm going to do my own thing. But as soon as that happens, these other two vibrations are going on at the same time. Well, I want to be self-reliant. I want to create something in the world. I want to help other people. I want to serve other people. And a lot of people with these patterns just think they're nuts when it's not.
I tend to go in and do the sixth thing while I'm doing my seven. You know, it's like I go inside and figure out how I can help other people.
Right. That's why it's hard to balance these three patterns, because especially being born on the sixth, that governs your intuition. The loveliest, loveliest people that I've met in my life were born on the sixth. My little sister is born on the sixth, and she's still like Snow White.
You know, these the same way.
Yeah, these animals are just magnetically drawn to her. It's high, high, high benevolence for nature. You are nature. You reside with nature. So that would be stronger for you. And then you have these other two patterns that would seem to want to pull you in different directions. But I'll tell you what you do is you balance all three. You have to, in your life, you have to spend time in nature. You have to be benevolent. You have to serve people. But you also have to be self-reliant. There has to be a time in life during the day. There has to be a time where you've got to bring forth your self-reliance. You've got to bring forth your independence. You've got to make decisions. So you say, okay, from 7 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock, I'm going into my one, my monad energy. I'm going to be all-inclusive, and then I'm going to reflect this out. And then you decide to balance that. You give a certain amount of time to live within the sixth energy, the serving, the your sense of responsibility, family, community, your sense of justice, because I know that when things go wrong in the world, especially with nature, animals, and children, you're highly affected by this.
Just the animals,
yes. So you have to be in that mode, serving people, serving them through nature, and then you have to spend time in the seven. You have to spend time in contemplation, being by yourself in meditation, because that's where we get our greatest answers.
Yeah.
And in actuality, what you're supposed to learn to do, my friend, is teach all this. So I hope you're setting yourself up into a teaching role, because you will research, you will analyze, you will read, you will study on and on and on and on and on. And sometimes it comes a time where the student has to become the teacher.
Well, you've pretty much described my life, for sure. Yeah, definitely.
Well, you have more knowledge inside of you that it is time to bring this forth and share it with others through nature. And today we really need the sixth energy is very, very strong. The 66 is the main energy that's set in motion to move the consciousness higher. Our president is, I ran his chart, is a 666, which actually that's cosmic harmony. His will, everything moves down to cosmic harmony. So he's not in that position by mistake. The major pattern that's moving our consciousness higher to a higher octave is the sixes, the six and the 66. So nature, the energies in nature are with you, and then you don't have to, But the best thing for you to do is to bring this into a cosmic teaching role.
Yes.
Teach other people, like I believe biomimicry, when we decide to separate during the 1900s, when we decide to separate ourselves from nature, which we were taught through major religions, when we separated ourselves from nature and became greater than nature, something that's been in existence for 4 billion years, we blew it. All we have to do is look into nature for our answers. Nature is our example. Anything we need to know. How do we be inclusive? All we have to do is look at the dolphins. Dolphins teach us how to relate to one another within a pod, within a group. How to be social, how to be fair, how to have justice, but how also to express your independence and joy. Anything we need to learn is here through nature. And the more people that can be drawn back into nature instead of looking at it as the dark wilderness, vibrates more in the higher energy that's pouring through us today. So you're supposed to come out and teach through nature. Now,
Go ahead.
I need to ask you a personal question, if that's okay.
Fine.
How's the relationship thing going?
What relationship?
Okay. I need to ask you, and if you don't want to answer this on air, it's okay. But did you ever have a relationship where you were abandoned, either by father or boyfriend or husband, where you were just kind of abandoned?
No, I don't think abandoned. No, that doesn't fit. I mean, you know, I've had the typical in and out of relationship, but I never really felt abandoned.
Where someone just, it would be a situation where you had given your heart to somebody and they didn't return it.
Oh, well, yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely.
And then they went on their way and left you very heart struck.
Yeah, I can say that's happened in my life, yeah.
Okay, that's part of the 16. The main thing, and that becomes karmic. So the main thing to do within these two 16s is, first of all, you have to balance the I with the we. You have to go to a higher octave and say, what can I bring forth to make life better for humankind, for people around me, my community, because you're very community oriented. And with the thing about abandonment is that comes to, I was born on 16, so I know this pattern well. When each person who has a 16 has had that thing happen, you know, they didn't have, oh, I met my high school sweetheart, we got married, yada, 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 which is a 6 would long for. You know, it's
well,
very
I did have the love of my life die when I was young. I had 2 boyfriends die in a row, and the first one,
okay. That's the abandonment.
Yeah, it was, definitely.
Do you see on your birthday you had this twice, so it happened twice?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now that's not fate. What has to happen within that, I'm not too sure where your feelings are today, but people born on the 6th are basically very benevolent, forgiving, loving people.
I'm still there.
But they also self-sacrifice a lot, and they get taken for granted.
Yeah,
so,
I feel like I've stopped that self-sacrificing thing, but I haven't been in a relationship for a while. I live alone, you know, and I work alone, so I have to find more ways to interact with people.
Yeah, please start teaching. With the two, and I'm sorry to hear about the deaths of these people.
Oh, many years ago.
But the one thing that you want to have in your heart for that, that cleanses, purifies the energy, is forgiveness.
Yeah.
Total forgiveness and understanding that, you know, there's cycles in life and there are just things out of our hands that we come here as entities to live our own integrity of our own path. Once you forgive that, you move on.
What I can say that did for me, it was back when I was in high school, and I'm like 56 now, is it sent me into asking, what is this all about? And I've been studying metaphysics ever since. So I'm actually glad it happened because it made me go deeper.
Vicki, you've got to get into a loving relationship.
I'm all for it.
I mean, you've got open yourself to this, and you'll probably find it in through nature. You know, find another person who resonates well with nature the way you do. Partner up with someone to bring some teaching out into nature.
Yeah, that sounds great.
But I can't imagine someone being born on the 6 alone. So I think you're off balance in the 7, and you need to rebalance that. I bet you have animals then. You probably have animals and plants and all kinds of stuff all around you.
Yes,
that
I do.
You take care of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring your love out, because you the 6 energy blossoms best when they're in love.
I totally agree with you, and I don't have any anti in that way. I want to do that. It's just difficult to meet people when you garden alone. You know, I talk to plants all day long, and I can go for a week without talking to a human being, unless I'm like in a grocery store or something. agree with you. I'm all open for meeting people. It's just, you're right. I've gotten used to my 7-ness.
Yeah, because 7s can be very exclusive, very picky,
yep.
very fussy. and it would probably take you a lot to invite someone to your house. You would really like, oh, it'd be so nice to have someone here in my cozy little house, you know, to cook for them. But that 7 part of you is like, yeah, but if they come in and disrupt my environment, you know, and they start with, because the 6 in you does not like inappropriate behavior. It
yeah.
does not like ugliness. You're all about beauty, and you don't want your hearth-like quality, your home, defiled. So you become even more exclusive. So
yeah.
you have to open that up, and you become very critical of others and very withdrawn. And I would suggest to pull out of the 7, because how many years have you been there?
Well, you know, I'm a 7 as far as reclusiveness, but if people want to come, I'm totally open to that. And yeah, I can overlook the weirdness. I know what you're talking about there, but I don't have any doors shut to pretty much anybody wanting to come and socialize. I just don't quite make the opportunities happen. But I'm not a real fussy perfectionist 7. I'm just kind of a solo. You know, I'm really good at being by myself, but I'm totally open for whoever wants to come visit.
Yeah, you have so much love, and you're so good in relationships. You're so nurturing. You really take care of your mate.
You're right.
And it just means, you know, to get all snuggly, you know, in front of a fireplace and blankets wrapped around each other. You're all about that. Your home's probably so comfortable and cozy and warm.
It is,
please,
and I just want to share it. It's true.
Please look for an apprentice or someone to work with you that you could teach, and look into doing workshops. Take people out into nature. Start teaching the things that you know. Teach people how to talk to plants. Teach people how to become more one with nature, because you do this automatically, but there's a lot of people who don't know how to do this. They still separate themselves from nature, because even the Christian philosophers taught us that, and that's in the, you know, it's in our DNA now, and so that has to be taken out. And only people like you can teach this. People who,
well, you know,
because it's intuitive for you.
Yeah, I hike a lot, and I do take people with me every once in a while, and you're right, I'm amazed at how uncomfortable so many people are in nature.
Right. Increase those hikes, do workshops out in nature, and you'll meet the right person.
Great.
But you are to teach.
Yeah, I've always felt that.
I would put down the books and get out and teach. And you already have your classroom, a very large classroom with this,
yeah,
which
nature.
Is nature. Yeah. I mean, even now there's the bees. The bees are, you know, there's a lot going on with the bees.
Yeah, I heard that they're all dying. What is up with that?
Well, I think that's part of propaganda. I think the bees are starting to come back. And if people would stop swatting them and see them as an enemy, but see that without our bees, we wouldn't be alive today because we couldn't eat.
I totally agree with you. My very first gardening job, I had to trim this tree that had bees all over the flowers. And I got up on a ladder and I just asked them to move over, you know, and
right.
they did.
Right.
And I trimmed, yeah. you know, and we got along fine. But yeah, I don't feel the same way about wasps, however.
you could teach people this.
Yeah.
I want to tell you that is Vicky your first birth name?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to briefly tell you something about Vicky. Is your V comes into the cornerstone of six as well. So that means this is your environment. This is the best environment for you is to be in nature. And then in your emotions, the first pattern that starts in movement and is a high frequency is the 11, which is very strong. So it tells me you have psychic abilities. That you're highly, highly intuitive. But this also means that, Vicky, you have to differentiate who you are as an individual. This is who I outside the masses. And it sounds like you've had time to do that. And then you take that and say, this is who I am. And you reconcile yourself in the masses to uplift other people through communication.
Uh-huh.
So it looks like your path is to come forward. Put yourself like in a limelight position, which would be, you know, leadership, workshop, things like that. And teach people ideals. Teach people the principles in nature that Gaia exists as a reflective principle. Anything we need to know exists within nature.
Yes.
And most people don't know that.
Yeah,
I
agree.
They just don't know that. Vicky can teach them that.
Great. This all rings very true and to home, yeah.
And you live in Carmel?
I do, Carmel Valley.
Oh, it's beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful. That's near Monterey, isn't it?
It is. I live on a river, and there's deer in my backyard, so I live very much in the middle of nature.
It has is that still in Monterey?
Pardon me?
The sea lions?
Oh, yes. Yes.
I went to Monterey and I heard these sea lions way off of the and it's like, oh, I have got to see them. So
they're dominant down there.
Yeah, I made my way down to the piers and there was this big sign, don't go down and pet the sea lions. I thought, oh, the hell with that. So I went down that pier and they were all sitting on the pilings and just went down and sat with them and touched them. And I didn't feel as if they were going to do anything to me. Why should they?
I think they don't want you to feed them because they've kind of taken over people's boats and everything down there, but I think it's great.
I do too.
That's funny.
Beautiful.
You have a bird in the background?
Yeah, I have parrots. I have a macaw, a red-front macaw, a sulfur-crested lesser cockatoo. I have a Moluccan cockatoo. I have two doves, and I have a cockatiel.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that, because I was sitting there in the beginning listening to you thinking, that guy sounds like he's in a pet shop.
Yeah, they surround the area where, and the cockatoo is the loudest. She's actually two rooms over, but the house is open to where she's in the center of the house, which is, her name's Jasmine, and she kind of rules the house. She she has to be in the center so she could watch everything that's going on. And if you get too far away from her, she lets you know. And birds are nothing but an ineffable joy. They live to be joyful. And so I love their energy around. And they're a great conduit between heaven and earth. But that's what trees are, too. Trees
Definitely.
Are conduits, and trees love people. But trees trees bring down the energy from heaven, and they bring up the nutrients of the earth. They balance them, and during the daytime, they send out this energy for us. They filter the excess carbon dioxide, and at night, they use the energy for themselves and turn it to sugar. How's your sweet tooth?
Well, it's there, but I control it. I don't go there because it doesn't like me.
Yeah,
I don't eat sugar.
Yeah, sixes are very drawn to sweets, but Vicki, you have to remember you're part of nature's process, and the end result in photosynthesis is sugar, sweet energy. So you'll always be drawn to it.
Oh, well, I definitely am. So this has been a great reading. Oh my goodness.
Okay, well, Vicki, it certainly was good to hear from you, and thank you for calling in.
I thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye. I just want to tell others that are listening that I could be contacted at Pelorus Jack, PelorusJack, at Q.com. Or my information is on the BBS radio website. If I could be of any help to anyone, feel free to email me, contact me through BBS radio. But I hope that I have taken away some fear of 2012. Go forth with change, because that's what nature does. Pull in all the diversity around you. Move away from stratification. Move away from wants and desires. See what you can give to one another. Don't become fear-based with the silly propaganda, the false prophets. You know, don't go out and buy a whole bunch of rice, because that as we've seen, affects the economy. But if you want to survive through the heart, survive through the intuition, change the patterns in life that have never worked for you, live more through the heart than through the head. Use the heart in greater communications with other people. And look for inspiration. Look for the things that inspire you in life. Don't look for the things that our corporations tell us we need. Don't allow the corporations to make us feel self-inadequate, because that's what their programming is all about. That it's make us feel inadequate. So don't fall into that. Don't digest. Don't allow anything to go past your intuition. If your intuition says, well, isn't that a lot of hooey? I'm not going to be bamboozled. Then don't be bamboozled. Keeping up with the Joneses doesn't exist anymore. This is not the days of Nineveh when people used to paint their prized possessions on the outside of their houses. It's about what we can give and what we can give through the heart. And as long as you give through the heart, you have nothing to worry about in 2012. Because you're part of that yin energy that is getting larger and larger and larger and larger. So please eliminate the concept of sin. Please release all notions about fear. And take away this one word that has been implanted in our DNA, guilt. Because there is no such thing in nature, and there's nothing that supports that energy. So go forth with your intuition and with love in your heart. And thank you so much for listening.